God be the glory. It's great to be with you once again. I want to thank Brother Melvin Slade, the great broadcaster, for this opportunity to share with you the Word of God. Now I want to talk to you from Psalms chapter 8, where the psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars you set in place, what are people that you should think about them, mere mortals, that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean current. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Hallelujah to his name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Lord, you have set your glory above the heavens. When I think about God, that's what this psalmist it says in my heart. When I think about God, when I think about God, I think about his dominion. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Beloved, God is in control of all that he has created. Regardless of the fallen state of humanity, it does not alleviate the fact that God is God. As God, how excellent is his name in all the earth. This is indeed an interesting observation by the psalmist. The dominion or rule of God goes beyond territorial rule. The character of God announces the rule of God in all the earth. The psalmist sets himself to give to God the glory due his name. Hallelujah. When I look around and I see God's creation, I just want to give to the world the glory that's due the name of God. Man's dignity can only be seen in the light of God's glory. In other words, my beloved, as we behold the glory of God as it relates to his creation, can we understand the dominion of God? You cannot grasp God's dominion without feeling a sense of human admiration for God's divinity. In this Psalms. In Psalms 8, we witness God's majesty and God's might. The first name we hear the psalmist use is, O Lord. The psalmist addresses God by using his proper name, which is in the Hebrew, Yahweh, which is known to us as Lord. When I think about God, I must think about his lordship. God is Lord over all. Did you hear me? I said God is Lord over all. He is the creator of all things. No matter how we manage to mess up his creation, it does not remove the truth that God is Yahweh, that God is Lord of all. And since God is Lord of all, the psalmist could not just stop at his proper name, Yahweh. He had to be more descriptive of God. He says, O Lord, our Lord. The first Lord is Yahweh, which is his proper name. But the second Lord is Adonai, which is God's honorific title. The phrase our Lord is indicative of his holy divine position and authority. This fits not only who God is, it also expresses his dominion and what he does. He is the Lord of all the earth, and he is the Lord of lords. Oh, thank God that God's dominion and power is forever and ever. Thank God that God's dominion expresses what God does. Thank God that he is Lord of all the earth. I like what the psalmist says in Psalm 97. He said, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. When I think about God, I think in terms of what the psalmist declared. The Lord reigns in his majesty and in his might. God reigns. The reign of God is the authority and sovereignty of God. In one of the hymns we sing, especially during the Christmas season, is Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare his rule, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. The song, beloved, refers to God's coming in his humiliation through his Son, Jesus Christ. In the Christian world, this is known as the incarnation. But the psalmist is declaring that the real joy will come when he appears again in power and great glory, when all things shall be put under his feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. He promised us that he's coming back again. He's coming back again for the church. And all things, when he comes again, will be put under his feet. This thought is caught up in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. When he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself would also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Yes, my beloved, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, because through the amazing grace of God, we have a way out of sin, curse, and into the blessed privilege of eternal salvation." Hallelujah. That's why I love that hymn that says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me, saved us far, and grace will lead us on. Thank God, when I think about the birth of Christ that brought forth the death of Christ. The death of Christ ended in the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ proclaims him as the first fruit of all of those who have fallen asleep in Christ Jesus. And because of that, all things are subject to the Son, and the Son is subject to the Father, because it was the Father that put all things into subjection to the Son, that God would demonstrate that God is all in all. The Psalmist reveals that the Lord will return, and when he does, he will return with judgment on his mind. Hallelujah, somebody. The Lord's coming, the Bible declares in Psalm 97 that the Lord's coming is accompanied with clouds and thick darkness, often a picture of awesome judgment. God's rule is based on righteousness, according to Psalm 96:13. A consuming fire is also a manifestation of his appearance, for by it he is in his wrath destroys his foes. Hallelujah. The psalmist describes the effects of this epiphany. The heavens declare his righteousness. The heavens declare his glory. In other words, his appearance to establish righteousness on earth will be announced to the world. Pagan idol worshippers will be put to shame, for they will know instantly that they have been wrong. This thought prompted the psalmist to call even the idol worshippers, hallelujah, the Lord. So the people of God rejoiced because of the triumphant exaltation of their righteous Lord. Since he is over all the earth, he is higher than high all false gods and deserves praise. When I think about God, I must declare, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. When I think about God, I join with the angels and declare glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. When I think about God, I say, as the psalmist says in Psalms 136, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Oh God, our Father, we thank you today. We thank you because your dominion, your sovereignty makes us grateful to be alive. Thank you, God. All of you that are listening to me today, I ask you to join with me and say, God, thank you. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for our country. Thank you for our community. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your healing. Thank you, God, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I give God the praise for you today. Wherever you are, life indeed is worth living. Never give up, in Jesus' name. All right, again, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to invite you to share with us in the time of worship at the Calvary Baptist Church of Pacoima, 12928 Vaughn Street, San Fernando, California, where Pastor Prophetess Gloria Broaddus and myself are the under-shepherds. We invite you to our worship service. We have Hispanic service at 7:30 a.m. Our Sunday school is at 8:30 a.m. Our regular morning service is at 10 o'clock a.m. And we have our evening worship at 6 o'clock p.m. We certainly invite you to come and hear what God has to say. Come and enjoy time of praise and worship to our Lord of Lords and our King of Kings. And remember Psalms 8, when I think about God, my soul is made glad.